Keanu's final farewell, everyone left in utter disbelief. Sure.
All aboard!
Hey!
Huh?
Oops! What? Wow! Yeah!
Welcome, everybody, to episode 29 of Where Dreams Come True. This is the show where we suffer through the entire good and bad of Disney+. I am your host, Collins. Joining me today, returning guests Cameron and Elena.
Hello.
Of the Flamingo movie fame. I had completely forgotten that we did that.
I blocked that in my mind.
For good reason.
It was very forgettable.
It was so forgettable. But this week, we had the great pleasure of watching Hamilton, the 2020 Broadway recording, technically, by director Thomas Kail. The film version of the original Broadway smash hit Hamilton combines the best elements of live theater, film, and streaming in an astounding blend of hip-hop, jazz, R&B, and Broadway. Presenting the tale of American founding father Alexander Hamilton, this revolutionary moment in theater is the story of America then, told by America now. Initial thoughts?
Sorry.
I don't think this is the best of streaming, though.
No.
Like, I mean, it's good, but
there's
I don't know about...
specifically streaming about
yeah.
it?
I'd argue that it's pretty good for streaming, considering it's one of the only, it is the only Broadway, well, no, one of the best Broadway plays that have been streamed. I mean, film, like, I'm not talking about even on Disney Plus, I'm just talking about Broadway plays in general that have been filmed while being performed on stage.
That's true. Or even, like, as much as, like, filmed like this.
Yeah. Because, I mean, I know with COVID, they've been doing it a lot where they have been doing plays. Like, there was a whole week of, I think, the National Theater or something where they were streaming plays live.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Like, I've seen the Broadway record, that one Broadway recording of Les Mis for whatever anniversary it was. Mm-hmm. But it's all just, like, a wide shot of the whole thing. But, like, this has, like, action shots and close-ups. So I would,
Yeah, because usually it is very, like, stagnant. Where
It's just
this was a
audience.
Good. This was a good movie for me because I am actually a Broadway freak. I watch a lot of Broadway, and I am very poor, so I have to stream the illegal ones.
Oh yes.
So
everyone had like the same rip of Hamilton up until it came out on Disney Plus.
Yeah. So I thought it was amazing because
I saw that. I made it through the first act on that one.
Hmm.
I didn't finish the whole thing until this. But I guess going on with initial thoughts, have you seen this movie before and experienced first viewing and now returning to it? I saw this when it launched on Disney Plus because I never finished it on the torrent, I guess, technically. I think I found myself paying more attention the second time. I feel like I just listened to it a lot the first time I was watching it because I was playing Fallout.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. But I actually like watched it this time and there was a lot that I liked. Cameron.
Yes, I've of course seen this before.
On Disney Plus?
Yes, on Disney Plus, the good version. And seeing it a second time was just as good as the first. Where's my phone? Oh, here it is. So yes. Enjoyable movie.
Mm-hmm.
Movie.
Elena.
Oh, I've seen it like a lot. So it was just as enjoyable as the last time I saw it. So I like it.
Very long.
I think they should do it with all Broadway plays.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I love that.
Yep.
Because like I never go see plays.
Yeah.
Especially Broadway plays.
I have a very, very strong opinion about Broadway plays and their limited capability of viewing because I think it's ridiculous and I think they would actually get a lot more money if they filmed it professionally like they did with Hamilton because I would still go see it on Broadway if I had the chance. Like Hamilton, so quick. I would go see that in real life on stage, but they refuse to film them like they do because they're like, oh, it'll make people not want to go. No, it won't.
Yeah.
It'll just
I agree.
Give it more access. Broadway has a very, I can't remember the term, but they're kind of elitist.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
That was
they're
the word
very,
that came to mind.
Yeah, they're very, like,
I think that's most of it. It's not about like accessibility.
Yeah.
It's like I like
it's so stupid.
When they like replay movies in the theater, like I've got them on DVD, but like when they like they're playing Raiders of the Lost Ark in IMAX one time, I was like, of course I'm gonna go see that.
Yeah, because it's a different experience.
Yeah. And like seeing a play in person is always gonna be different than seeing it on here. I would love to see Hamilton in person. That'd be
great. It's so different.
Yeah.
So it's just stupid. But anyways, I really like the movie.
Yes, I really like the spitty floor.
Yeah.
It's less apparent in the Disney Plus version because it's not like the in the like the illegal video, it's top down, so you're constantly seeing it.
Oh.
But it sort of like blends into the action more in Disney Plus.
I don't know. I constantly noticed it in this one.
I think it's so cool. I think every Broadway play should have a spinny floor. They do some real cool stuff with it.
I think
my moment of the movie is a spinny floor moment. It's so cool.
I think mine is too.
Yeah?
No, it's not.
Better not be the same as mine.
It's not. Don't worry about it.
That all right.
Keeps
so
flickering, and I hope it's not in the recording.
It's probably because it's just a kinked cord. Okay. Don't worry about it. This cushion feels like it's going to slide off, and it's really annoying. Anyway,
you sing on it like this?
Yeah, kind of. Not too long of a recap, which is good because there's a lot to cover. But we will go in to the full recap. Act 1. Which is not as bad as when it was saying that in The Simpsons when it had Act 1, 2, and 3 for every episode. Act 1. The orphan Alexander Hamilton leaves his home on the island of Nevis, the song Alexander Hamilton plays. After arriving in New York in 1776, Hamilton meets Aaron Burr, John Lawrence, Marquis de Lafayette, and Hercules Mulligan, the Aaron Burr Sir song, and impresses them with his rhetorical skills in My Shot. They affirm their revolutionary goals to each other in The Story of Tonight. Meanwhile, wealthy sisters Angelica, Eliza, and Peggy Schuyler go into town seeking out potential suitors in The Schuyler Sisters. Samuel Seabury warns everyone about the dangers of Congress, but Hamilton disagrees and tries to counter Seabury in Farmer Refuted. King George then insists on his authority in You'll Be Back. During the New York and New Jersey campaign, Hamilton accepts a position as George Washington's aide-de-camp in Right-Hand Man instead of Field Command. It's a lot of songs.
They just skim past like a whole.
Yeah. I mean, it's you know, progressing of...
I think there's like 50 songs in it.
There's so many.
Like on the
it's
soundtrack.
Like almost completely sung. Everything.
Oh, it is. It Which is like. Completely sung. It's technically an opera.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's anything cool. That doesn't have speaking is technically an opera. So Les Mis, Hamilton, Hadestown.
Yeah.
Probably don't know what Hadestown is. But
I've heard of it.
It's amazing.
The same people that go crazy over Percy Jackson and Hades go crazy over Hadestown. I don't know if it's because of Greek mythology, but or if it's just...
It's just the word
It's
Hades.
Just the type of people.
Yeah, maybe. Because I don't know. Because I'm really into Hadestown, but I'm not... I know of the Percy Jackson musical, but I'm not super into it.
There's a musical?
Uh-huh. It's actually better than the movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's not a high bar.
Yeah. No. Unfortunately. That's true.
And then they made a second one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was...
I hope we get to cover that because I have so many thoughts. They failed.
Well,
the first
they
movie.
Are supposed to do a
they're doing
TV
a Disney
show,
Plus show, yeah. But it's just so bizarre that they made this is a tangent, but they made Percy Jackson. It did horribly, and then like 8 years later, they're like, you know what? Let's try again and do the second book.
So stupid.
Yeah.
It didn't work. So yeah, a lot happens in this paragraph.
Sorry to cut you off.
Oh, you're fine.
On your recap.
What notes do you have? I forgot to take notes. So, I probably should have.
Yeah, in the drinking scene or whatever.
Yeah.
Like My Shot. I really like the how like Hercules is like banging on the table and stuff, like keeping beat.
Yeah.
It's just like a really cool like diegetic way of like having music without just being like the orchestra. Or I guess it's kind of a soundtrack though, right? Because it's electronic, some of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just thought it was really cool.
Do they have a live orchestra in this?
There was an orchestra
pit.
The guy from the pit was like, hey. And I was like, oh.
He was the guy that climbs out of it at one point.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe. I'd have to look into it.
Also, I took a lot of notes.
Okay, good, because I didn't.
So in the beginning, I noticed this, having watched this a second time. everybody's wearing white in the beginning.
Yeah.
Mm.
And then, except for Aaron Burr, but he's wearing red, which apparently is a theme in this whole show because all of the bad guys wear red.
Yeah, actually, that's a good point because they're the red coats.
Mm-hmm.
I never noticed that. That's really cool.
Yeah. The whole introducing the characters thing is fun. I don't know if that's necessarily a Broadway trope, but I thought that was cool.
Oh.
Yeah. Although it did confuse me because the actress that plays Peggy also plays
the mistress.
Yeah.
And so when like it introduces them at the beginning, I was like, is Peggy gonna have a thing with him? Yes. And then she never did, and I was confused until I realized they were the same actress.
Gets around.
Yeah, well, because they're all the same. Like the Lafayette, he plays Fluffy
Jefferson.
Yes, thank you. Thomas Jefferson, and like Hercules Mulligan plays Madison in the second act, which is hilarious because the dichotomy of the two characters is just so funny. Because he's like super like loud and the banging one.
I didn't realize he was the same guy.
Yeah.
He's all like coughing and stuff as Madison.
Yeah, because he's supposed to be like sickly and he's super like chill. I love it. He's so good. I adore him.
I did notice this time that Lafayette and Jefferson were the same guy. I didn't notice that before, but I mean, the hair should have been a dead giveaway because it's huge.
I had seen him in other stuff before, so like it was hard for me not to have noticed it.
Lafayette might be my favorite character in this.
He's amazing.
Because first of all, French accent is great, but he's not too jokey about it.
Although, even
Lafayette's song isn't.
Lawrence. Yet. Lawrence plays Hamilton's kid in the second one. Or in the second act. I didn't mean second one. Second act. So
go watch Hamilton 2 on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
I don't know what it would be about. He didn't have any. Did he have great? Yeah, it's not great kids because he had other kids.
He had other kids, but they didn't.
They weren't as
far as I know. They didn't really do anything.
They didn't get shot like his first kid.
Yeah.
Maybe. Who knows? Maybe they did.
Yeah, I don't know.
Let's see.
Oh, also, I noticed. Because I noticed a lot of colors in this, because it's a very colorful play, as all Broadway plays should be. Every character has their own like color, wearing their own color, and then like when they change colors.
What's Hamilton's
it's really cool.
color?
I think it was green at some point.
Yeah,
I feel like it's blue. I feel like he did wear green too.
I think
like
he
in the
changed,
beginning.
Yeah, in the second act.
Yeah,
he changed colors. Yeah.
That's probably also to help differentiate when same actors play different characters, like how Peggy is
green,
and then I don't remember her character's name later is like maroon.
Yeah, super dark red.
Yeah. Remembering Angelica is like yellow and Eliza's blue. She's like a cyan.
She yellow.
I thought one of them was pink.
Whatever.
It's good.
Dress colors.
I think if anything, what kept me from watching this or listening to this play for as long as I did was probably the first song, because it is abrasive at first. But the first I'd heard of Hamilton was the opening line, which says bastard and whore in one sentence. And I'm like, what is this musical about? And I thought it was going to be like super edgy, but it is edgy, but it's not super edgy.
Yeah.
It's not abrasive.
No.
So another thing I noticed, when King George comes out.
He's great. He's in Frozen.
What?
Yeah, he's Kristoff in Frozen.
Yeah.
No, that was That's Josh Gad, isn't it?
No, Josh Gad.
Josh Gad is Olaf.
Who?
The human boy.
The boy. The blonde.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh,
he does the 80s power ballad in Frozen 2.
Oh, yeah. No.
Beautiful.
Which I guess people were angry when he didn't really have a song in Frozen 1. Because he was King George in this, and they're like, why didn't they?
I mean, he is a singer. Like, that's kind of what his thing
that
is.
That is what he does.
Yeah.
Well, I noticed that he was, like, spitting a lot.
Yep.
Yeah.
It was really weird.
So I actually read a whole thing about that. Lin-Manuel Miranda. Because he's like, because there were a lot of people, you know, who were complaining about it. They were like, why would you leave that in? Because they have, like, different shots of him where he doesn't spit.
Yeah.
But he was like, it's the spit. The spit tells you the passion. It's really funny.
It's King George. He's not supposed to be appealing.
No.
That's what I was thinking. It was like they wanted to portray him in like a gross kind of way.
I just think he was just doing. I just.
Like, I understand, like.
I don't think it was actually purposeful.
I think it's something that probably happens purposeful. A lot in Broadway, yeah. but yeah, you just don't
yeah.
notice it.
Yeah.
Because, like, with this, they recorded it, I believe, like, 3 times, maybe 2, maybe 4, where, like, some of it's recorded with an audience. Some of it, there's no audience, like, when they have the camera on stage and mm-hmm. stuff. So, yeah, they could have easily just cut to a wider shot and
oh,
not
yeah.
shown his spit. Mm-hmm. I think it's hilarious. Like, that whole song, like, every song that he's in is very good.
He is he'll be back. So... His face, I love his performance in it. It mm-hmm. is just so absolutely perfect with the way he, like, limits his movements to just very, like, specific little tiny movements and everything else is really stiff. Yeah. I love him. He did such a good job. Mm-hmm. he was good.
I don't know if it still is, but I very much at first, Right Hand Man was my favorite song, may still be my favorite song, mostly because it's got some good rap breaks.
Mm-hmm.
The cannons as, like, percussion is yeah. fantastic, and all the booms, and George Washington's intro is just so badass.
Oh my god. It is the most so cool. badass. I don't even know what my favorite song is.
There's so many to choose from.
I know.
Think about that. I don't think we've discussed favorite songs before.
Yeah, I like
Burn as
a
moment of the movie thing, because we did like Little Mermaid 3, and we didn't talk about our favorite song from that.
I don't remember that
because it was all garbage.
I didn't even know there was a third Little Mermaid.
Oh,
I thought there was only 2.
Wait, wasn't it 2?
It was 3.
It was 3. Oh,
yeah, because 2 is a sequel, 3 is the prequel to the first movie.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and there's also a TV show which takes place between the prequel and the first movie.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. Yeah. Did not
they
know
could sing in it, right?
What?
They can sing in that one, right?
I don't know.
I don't remember what happened at the end.
I realize I just forgot to add a
something about
wheel.
Footloose.
Oh god.
Under the sea, something like that.
Okay.
Oh yeah, it's basically yeah. The third movie is basically Footloose, but underwater. And about singing instead of dancing. I don't know. I haven't seen Footloose. Anyway, shall we continue?
Yeah, I guess.
Okay. And the girl's last name pronounced is Skylar. Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's spelled Schuyler.
Is it with a U?
Yeah. It's S C H U Y L E R, but it's Skylar. I paid attention this time.
Okay.
At Philip Skylar's ball.
Ball.
A Winter's Ball plays. Yes.
Where he meets.
Eliza Skylar falls hopelessly in love with Alexander,
yeah.
who reciprocates her feelings, and the two later marry each other in Helpless as Angelica suppresses her feelings for the sake of their happiness. At the wedding and satisfied. After the wedding, Burt congratulates Hamilton on his position as aide-de-camp to Washington. Hamilton admits that he would much rather have Burt's position on the battlefield in the Story of Tonight reprise. Burt reflects on Hamilton's swift rise while considering his career as more cautious and Wait For It. Which is great. That shot was in the trailer from Wait For It.
Oh, I didn't watch the trailer.
Yeah, the trailer sold me on it. It's got that, like, there's, like, that one shot of him, like, reaching up, and the dancers are spinning around him. It's in the trailer, and I was like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah, wedding's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Wait For It was my favorite song, but then, like, watching it, I think Satisfied is almost one of my favorite songs.
That's a good
that's
one.
A,
that's really good.
Because it's just so pretty with the way they do it with the spinning. And they start reversing.
I do love
it's so pretty.
How Satisfied, like, recreates the previous song.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, from a different... Oh. Mm.
It's really
good.
It's not
necessarily from a different perspective, because she does the same things in the first time through, but the spotlight's on her that time.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
it's just, like, her thoughts.
Yeah. It's very good.
So good.
And I had a thought. Oh, I realized when I was watching Satisfied this time that Greatest Showman has a nearly identical song theme-wise to Satisfied with Never Enough, which is like basically the same type of thing. I don't
Interesting.
know.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, it does kind of have the same kind of theme, ideology behind the lyrics.
Except I can totally this is better that. Than Greatest Showman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. I really like Greatest Showman, but this is better.
I have mixed feelings about Greatest Showman. I love the soundtrack, but I felt like I was going out of my mind watching a movie. Like the whole, like all the connective tissue is kind of weird for me. But like the music itself is That's just fair. Banger after banger.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll have to watch it again. But yeah, one song at least is, I got it confused, which is why I realized that there was a connection there.
Hmm.
Aaron Burr, very good. A lot of Burr in this. Like a lot of it is told from his perspective.
Yeah.
He's almost, is he? Yeah, he's kind of the narrator, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
Kind of.
He's the narrator up to a point, and then like at the very end, no, even at the very end, Eliza's not the narrator because it's still Aaron Burr narrating what she's doing post-death.
It's like they share narration.
Yeah. Towards the end, yeah.
He it's hard to even really pinpoint a narrator in this, but yeah. If you had to pick one, I would pick say Burr.
Yeah, he does speak directly to the audience.
Yeah, like lot more than any of the other characters do.
Yeah, so. Yeah, I would say he's the narrator, which I think is interesting.
Yeah.
To make him the narrator.
Yeah, one of my favorite lines is the last song with him, like the villain.
Yeah.
The villain in your history, and like, I love that song so much.
It's very good. Though, yeah. Again, I don't know how historically accurate a lot of this movie is, but I love what's in it, so that's what we're talking about. Yes.
Some of it is. Some of it isn't. I could actually probably tell you exactly what is and what isn't, but I mean, we don't have time for that.
if you're able to like point out certain things.
It's mostly, it tries to be. It does a good job at it. There are some things where they tweak it a little bit, but it very... It is mostly accurate.
There's certain parts where I'm sort of like, it never specifically says if him and Angelica had an affair. It says they don't, but in my mind I'm like, I think they may have.
See, that was one of the things that they actually tweaked a little bit.
Yeah.
Because it seems she was actually really happily married.
Okay.
Interesting. She was actually really happily married. There were inklings where there could have been something between them, but she actually was like, as much as we can tell, she was actually happy with the guy that she ended up with. So
interesting.
Yeah, because I thought the same
it
way
definitely
too.
Makes
I was
it more
like,
dramatic.
But yeah.
Okay, so they
you
did.
Always have to have all the love.
Mm-hmm.
As much as the, because it makes it more fun to watch, and you're just like, oh. Yeah. Plus, it makes Satisfied beautiful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It created a beautiful song. And then in the end, with like her siding with Eliza when he cheats, then it also kind of gives more oomph to that too. So,
yeah.
And I think besides that, the one other thing was it's a little too, what is the word? Forgiving, I guess, towards Alexander during the whole affair thing.
Yeah, for sure.
Where
yeah.
it's like, oh, it's not completely his fault. And I'm like,
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah. I think it's a little too nice to him.
Yeah. But it is also, you also have to think, it is told from him. So he would paint himself better than
Absolutely.
Anybody else would. So.
Yeah, where it kind of vilifies her more than I think she necessarily deserves. I don't know. Like I don't know the history of those two. So who's to say?
It's funny. My partner, she loves. Okay, sorry. She loves Hamilton. Like that's one of the reasons why I've seen it so many damn times, because she will turn it on anytime she wants, and I've seen it so many times because of her. But she actually despises Hamilton. She hates him so much because he cheated on Eliza, because she adores Eliza.
Yeah.
And so every time that, like, she's all like nice and like singing along with Hamilton, and then as soon as the cheating song happens, she's like, I hate you. It's really funny. She's like, every time something bad happens to him, she's like, yeah, you deserve it. boo.
Yeah, at least really they funny. Do include that, which I think is good.
Yeah.
They could have glossed over that whole thing.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I think it is a little too nice to him, but he's still definitely not the hero of the story during mm-hmm. that. Part of it.
Yeah, for sure.
But we'll get there. We're jumping ahead. We do this all the time. As conditions worsen for the Continental Army, Hamilton aids Lawrence in a duel against Charles Lee in Stay Alive. Oh, that was Charles. Interesting. Who insulted Washington. Lawrence injures Lee, who in turn yields in the Ten Duel Commandments. Hamilton is temporarily suspended by Washington and Meet Me Inside over the duel and is sent home. There, Eliza reveals that she is pregnant with her first child and asks Hamilton to slow down and take in what has happened in their lives in That Would Be Enough. After Lafayette convinces France to get involved on the colonist sides and guns and ships, he urges Washington to call Hamilton back to help plan the final siege of Yorktown. Washington agrees, but explains to Hamilton, who is convinced he should die a martyr and a hero in war, that he should be careful with his actions because whatever he does will be known for ages to come in History Has Its Eyes on You. At the Siege of Yorktown, Hamilton meets up with Lafayette to take down the British, revealing that Mulligan was recruited as a spy, helping them figure out how to trap the British and win the war in Yorktown. The world turned upside down.
I love how paragraph. It just tells you all the songs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just I think that's notes. Useful. It helps me keep in my head what is happening.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize that was Charles Lee. Who's the bad guy in Assassin's Creed 3?
Oh, he is?
Yeah, he's like the Templar. No, he's not the Templar Grandmaster, but he is a Templar.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Every
so
time
good
you
thing he got shot.
Yeah. Every time you say a new song, I'm like, oh, that's my favorite one.
they're all so good.
I know.
My goodness, the whole duel thing that. The duels are great. They make a really good use of the spinning stage.
Mm.
Yeah. I love the slow-mo.
Yeah.
So good.
Oh,
The extra. So they've got all the... They're not extra.
Ensemble.
Thank you. Ensemble. So there's the one special... There's a couple special parts for the ensemble, but the one special part of the ensemble, I don't know if you guys noticed, but it's
lady?
The one... Yeah, the bullet lady.
Yeah.
And she has...
It's the best word I have.
Yeah, it is, because she does the slow-mo of the bullet.
Her role
she's
is just
continually
called, like, the
throughout it. Every yeah. time she talks to someone, they die.
Oh, I forgot about that. I
like
remembered that there was
something
about her because
yeah.
I had known that previous, but I forgot when I was going to watch out for it, but I forgot.
Yeah, she's like the bringer of death is what they call her in the ensemble. So she's so good. She does her part so well. So.
I love the way they use the ensemble.
They're
just
great.
Like, they're, instead of like having special effects on like the stage itself, it's all like actors doing stuff.
Yeah, it's
like,
really neat.
Yeah. Like when they did that like... in the middle of a hurricane or whatever, they like the whole ensemble like around them like in these weird positions like it was a hurricane. I was like, ah, so good.
Yeah.
Cool. I feel like a broken record, but I wonder how the spinning stage works.
I think
they had
to
special make it.
We have one at what's it called? That.
Because like there's
playhouse.
Like there's
the
two
Hale
rings.
Center
Theater?
Yeah,
Hale Center
Theater. There's
yeah.
the outer ring which spins clockwise, and then there's an inner ring that spins counterclockwise.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Or sometimes they both spin clockwise or counterclockwise. But it's cool, especially when like when one is spinning one way and one is spinning the other way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it
like,
just makes
the
a
duel,
really cool effect.
That's like the best way, especially for this to do a duel on stage, is to have them spinning around so you can see both people, so it's
right.
not like two profiles or.
Mm-hmm.
It's very cool. And then Charles Lee gets shot, and it's awesome. It's really funny. His whole, like, I'm a general yippee part mm-hmm. is fantastic.
It is.
Which is a very different type of character than he is in Assassin's Creed. He's very dark in that. Lafayette, oh my gosh, Lafayette's song is great. And like leads into the whole
his rapping bit.
Oh my goodness!
Oh yeah,
it's so beautiful.
I don't know how you're able to rap in a French accent and not make it sound stupid.
It's mm-hmm. perfect.
It's just enough amount of silly because French accents are kind of funny.
Yeah, mm-hmm. for sure.
Just inherently funny.
Yeah. Well, and they kind of do make a little fun of it in like the first song that he's in, mm-hmm. where he's like, "How do you say?"
Yeah.
Because he's just kind of a goofy character.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. There's the That Would Be Enough song, which is contrast to Satisfied.
Yes.
Yeah.
I really like that song.
Which is, it is, I do wish Eliza did more. Because she has, like, great stuff in the last bit. But for a huge stretch of the play, it's just her talking, trying to get Hamilton to slow down, which I guess is probably what she was doing in real life, because my goodness, that dude.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess you can't really give her more to do if she wasn't doing more in real life. But it's hard for us to know.
My mom wants to play with about just her.
Just her? Yeah. She's great.
She doesn't like Hamilton. I mean, she does, but like, she doesn't like him as a person, which I kind of agree, because he kind of was not that great of a person.
Yeah.
Like, when you actually look into him, he's probably not that great of a person.
It's like, it's the same thing with Greatest Showman, where the musical is great, but the real life person, not so much.
Yeah,
it's
like,
history has its eyes on you. It's good. CG Yorktown.
Yes.
Yeah. I was real, for the first time I watched it, I was real invested in the revolutionary stuff. And I got bored once the revolution ended. But the best parts are in Act Two, for me, at least.
Oh, yeah.
It's action packed during the revolution, but after, like, there's some really good.
I think it's more visually entertaining.
Yeah.
In the second act. And that's probably maybe why you had that.
But, yeah.
Because, like, watching it is different.
Yeah.
So, because even though a lot of it is just them talking, it's really, which it kind of feels weird to say, because, like, the first act is really action-packed, but I feel like the second act is more visually entertaining just because of the way that Hamilton and Jefferson, like, act off each other.
Oh, yeah.
They're just so fun to watch. You're just like, wow, you guys.
That's very good.
Hate each other, and it's hilarious.
Well, I think part of it was the illegal video, because it's just top down,
that's
just visually kind of boring to watch, because it's low quality. You can see the people, but like when it's up close, like you get a much more appreciation for what's going into it. Oh my goodness, next paragraph time. Soon after the victory at Yorktown, King George asked the rebels how they will succeed in governing their own in what comes next. Beautiful. Lafayette returns to France with plans to inspire his people to have their revolution. That goes well. Hamilton's son, Philip, is born, while Burr has a daughter, Theodosia?
Yeah.
Theodosia.
Awesome. And the two tell their children how they will do anything to protect them in Dear Theodosia. Hamilton receives word that his friend Lawrence has been killed. Oh, he places the son, doesn't
he?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I just now realized that.
Yeah.
Has been killed in a seemingly pointless. Oh, so when he says, I died for him in the beginning, it's both of his characters he's talking about. Okay. Has been killed in a seemingly.
Got it.
I'm just realizing this now. Has been killed in a seemingly pointless battle. Oh, it makes more sense. After the war was won and throws himself into his work, and tomorrow there'll be more of us. He co-authors the Federalist Papers and is selected as Secretary of the Treasury by newly elected President Washington. Eliza begs Hamilton to stay. Angelica moves to London with her new husband in Nonstop. End of Act One.
Yeah, I love, I don't, this may sound weird, but I love the intermission.
Yeah,
because
there is one.
Yeah, I don't know. It's something about intermissions. It just are so great, because you're just like, okay, now I get to take a break from the movie for a bit.
Yeah.
Stand up and walk around.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even if it is like a streaming movie, I think all movies that are over 2 hours, or 2 hours or more, should have an intermission that maybe is just like 10 seconds long. That because it's a time where it's like, here, I'm forcing you to contemplate pressing pause. Like, here is a good stopping point if you need to go to the bathroom or stretch or get something to eat.
And it gives you kind of like even just a tiny second to kind of process what just happened in Act One, and you know that it's continuing.
Like,
gives you a moment where your brain is like, okay.
Look at the task, look at the progress bar, and you're like, oh, halfway done. Oh my gosh, there's so much more movie left.
Yeah. No, I think
my goodness, the thing about Lawrence and Philip just blew my mind just now.
Oh my god.
I really like the
just now realized it's both characters he's talking about.
Oh my gosh. So I really like when they're doing that can't remember what the song is, but when they're like talking to their kids.
And Dear Theodosia.
Dear Theodosia.
Yes, that.
That's a good one. Oh, when like they're on two sides of the stage, I mean, and there's like the light
split
between
in,
them.
Like, two separate spotlights. It's really cool.
It is.
And how they use the chair as like a crib. But there's no actual baby, but you know that there's a baby because it looks like a crib.
Mm.
No, I didn't
they did that. A really good lighting design.
That's cool.
Yeah, absolutely fabulous. Like, I think it was in What Comes Next.
Yeah.
They did like that lighting cue with like.
Oh,
King
when
George.
He stamps the floor and it turns blue.
Yeah.
Oh. Yes. Yeah. No, I love that so much. Every time I see it, I'm like, I'm waiting. Yes. It's bad.
And how
bad.
He's like the sort of like descent of King George over his appearances, where he's like got his full regalia on at first, and then in this one, like he's not wearing the coat anymore.
Yeah,
and I think the third time he shows up, he's like not even wearing his jacket anymore, and he doesn't have his scepter.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh,
that
his third appearance where he just like pulls up a chair and sits on stage.
I
is
love that.
So
and
funny.
And he's there the whole time. And like if you go and look over him, he's always doing something. It's great.
I just love that I feel like we're getting ahead, but he like walks just like in the middle of one of the scenes.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And like when in this one where he walks in and it looks like everyone's like packing up and leaving.
Oh,
like they're moving chairs. And so he's like,
He's great.
He does a good job. There was one, I don't know if it was on Disney Plus. Yeah, it was on Disney Plus. It was a Disney Insider where it had like a behind the scenes thing on Hamilton of the system they use to get props on set. And like they have like these rails that run through.
Oh.
And so they have them like in order of when they appear, and they'll just like push them on set and then push them back out the second end.
Huh.
And they talk about
cool.
like how they somehow managed to break the pistols constantly. And like
how?
They have like this whole I don't know how they break them, but apparently they do. Like all the props they have for there, and
they just get off stage and then just throw the pistols on the
ground.
I guess
working on set for that would be so fun.
Oh,
it'd be so
sure.
chaotic, but it'd be so fun.
It's very cool.
Yeah. Fun fact: Dear Theodosia was written about his dog.
What?
Lin-Manuel Miranda, when he wrote it, he was thinking of his dog.
Oh.
Yeah.
There's some good, like, inspirations for him that come up for, like, all, like, it's fun. It's his dog. It's interesting.
Yeah. He's funny. He's great.
Lin is fantastic.
Yeah.
He's an amazing writer.
Like, I think, I didn't really hear or see any of Lin until, like, he guest starred on My Brother, and Me. The podcast.
Huh.
And like he was on the show too on the Candle Night special, which is hilarious. Where they're like when he's on the podcast, they're like intentionally not talking about Hamilton on Disney Plus until Griffin makes like the worst joke ever, involving Porky Pig. And then while they're just dying, he comes back in. Anyway, Hamilton on Disney Plus, and he's like, no, don't talk about it now. It's so funny. But yeah, Lin, he's it's crazy that he's as successful as he is, because he's such a dude.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
great.
He listens to podcasts and shit. It's crazy. Where was I?
Well, he wrote a play before this, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's actually really, really good. Mm-hmm. And they're making it into a movie.
Which?
Oh my god, the movie looks so...
What play was it?
Freaking
it's like
good.
Something hype?
Yeah, it's... I literally have the soundtrack on my phone, and I'm blanking right now, and I think it's
Washington.
No, it's not Washington. It's...
Let me look it up.
In the Heights. In the Heights.
Yes.
It's In the Heights. And they're making a movie. It was supposed to come out last year, and then they had to delay it because of COVID, and I'm pissed. Because the movie...
Oh my goodness.
It looks absolutely amazing, the way that they choreographed it. And it's got really good people. It's got... like Rosa from B99 and Gina Rodriguez. And actually the guy who plays Philip in Hamilton is the main character in The Heights.
He was in Mary Poppins Returns.
He was the chimney guy.
The lamplighter.
Yeah, and he sings in Moana as well.
He's in Moana.
Him,
yeah.
And he
helped write and sing in Moana.
He did a cantina song for Force Awakens.
Nice. I can see that.
I can see that. That makes sense. My goodness. Mary Poppins. I hope we get Mary Poppins Returns at some point. It is a bizarre film.
It is.
I feel like it takes the Mary Poppins lore like two steps further than it ever should go.
Yeah.
And it makes you really just question what the hell Mary Poppins is.
Uh-huh.
Like, that's she'll strange. Just like at one point, like they ask her like, oh, like when are you gonna leave? And she like gets just like middle distance stare and is like, I leave when the door opens. They're like, what does that mean? What are you? My parents and they're in the theater, they're like, oh, this is interesting. I'm like, is she a god or something?
She's a nanny god.
Yeah, she's like some sort of eldritch whatever. Anyway, Act 2.
Yay!
Act 2 is longer than Act 1, isn't it? It feels like.
No, it's about the same.
It's about the same. Okay. Yeah. Anyway,
usually it's actually shorter.
And yeah, it feels like it's longer than it normally would be. I didn't pay super attention to the timeline on it.
I like looked at the time and I was like, ah, yes, it is half.
Exactly half. Thank you, Disney Plus. So we start Act 2. Thomas Jefferson returns to America from being the U.S. ambassador to France. And what did I miss? In 1789, Jefferson and Hamilton debate the latter's financial propositions at a cabinet meeting. Washington pulls Hamilton aside and tells him to figure out a compromise to win over Congress in cabinet battle. Number one.
Nice.
I didn't remember what I'd miss watching this.
Oh yeah.
Until I saw, I don't remember watching it the first time, but it is so funny.
I love it.
Yeah, it's so good.
It's one of my favorite songs.
Like Jefferson's look is fantastic. The hair is great, and he's got this the purple
velvet suit.
Ooh,
the velvet freaking.
It's so
suit.
Good. The velvet suit. It's fantastic. One thing that did bug me this time was there's a lot of talk about people's opinions about Hamilton's financial plan, but it never really talks about exactly what the plan is.
Yeah, it really doesn't.
Yeah.
It sort of just wants you to agree with Hamilton. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't know what, I have to look in the history books of what his plan was. They seem to be against it being like that it's like big government or something like that they're against.
I think it might be purposeful because
they don't want you to get into the politics of it.
Yeah, because his plan actually sucks and I hate it. Like, because I actually don't agree with his like politics at all.
Interesting.
So I think they probably did that on purpose because they were like, we want him to be more likable to everybody instead of what his politics are, because you know he's in this, he really is just a character.
Yeah.
So, and if you more, like get caught up in the politics, you're just gonna get caught up on that and forget everything else. So.
Yeah, it's more just about his life story, not necessarily against his political views. And I'm sure Lynn also didn't want like half the discourse of his musical to be about the politics of the musical,
which it already is, which is ridiculous, but fine.
Yeah, like if you like, I'm sure he didn't want people to leave the theater and be like, well, actually, this plan would have worked in history, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's missing the point of the musical, which is just about his life.
And rap.
And rap. And hip hop.
Yeah.
And rap and hip hop.
Beatboxing.
Stretching the boundaries of Broadway.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure some Broadway elitists hated this when it first came out.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for real.
They did?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm sure they did.
Oh, big. It was a big deal. It was like one of the first that, not the first, because actually, I think it's in Into the Woods. I think wrong.
That's a trip.
But I think that was technically the first that has rap because they have really, really fast speaking.
Right.
But they don't consider it rap because they don't put hip hop and like beats behind it. Mm-hmm. It's just really fast speaking.
Interesting.
So that was their first.
Did not enjoy Into the Woods. But I did see like just a community. I've not seen the movie because I despised the musical when I watched it, but it was like a community theater thing, so I'm sure.
Oh yeah. Community theater's rough.
It made me feel like I was watching a dumbed down Kingdom Hearts or something like that where it's like everything's connected. I would rather it's not.
Yeah.
That, I mean, people watching that know me are going to find that very hypocritical. And yes, I know.
Because you watch all those Kingdom Hearts things?
Yeah, and I'm working on a not D&D, it's a different system. I'm working on a campaign that is all based on obscure Disney parks lore.
Oh man.
Where it's like there's like a secret society that's introduced in Tokyo Disney Sea that's got references and a bunch of rides, and it's like Indiana Jones is canon, Pirates of the Caribbean is canon, Avatar is canon. Everything is. Yeah.
Wow.
It's a red web.
It's like the Pixar theory or whatever.
It's like that. Yeah, it's like the Pixar. It's like the Pixar theory, where it's like, oh, in this restaurant, there's a sea reference, and there's wilderness explorers from up in there, and the wilderness explorers are also in Pandora, the world of Avatar in Animal Kingdom, which means that Avatar is canon to this story, and this character met Jack Sparrow.
Oh boy.
Damn.
But yeah, but I don't like Into the Woods for the exact same reason that I like that, because everything's connected.
Fair.
Also, the reason I didn't like Once Upon a Time, but that's a whole different thing. Where are we?
Is that TV show where they were like...
Okay, you got 10 minutes. We're going to go. Eliza and her... So we're going to do the closing stuff with just us, which is fine.
Yeah.
It's that's totally cool. Fine. Eliza and her family, along with Angelica, back from London, travel upstate during the summer while Hamilton stays home to work on the compromise and take a break. Hamilton begins an affair with Maria Reynolds, making him vulnerable to her husband's blackmail and say no to this. Hamilton, Jefferson, and James Madison create the compromise of 1790, over a private dinner, exchanging Hamilton's financial plan for replacing the country's permanent capital on the Potomac River. I don't know what that means. Burr is envious of Hamilton's sway in the government and wishes he had similar power in the room where it happens. Burr switches political parties and defeats Philip Schuyler, making Hamilton now a rival in Schuyler defeated. Gotta say, not too sympathetic of Burr at this point. He kind of comes across as whiny.
Yeah,
or like, Burr, like his whole like, don't let them know what you're against or what you're for. But Hamilton, like, saying like what he believes in is the reason that Hamilton becomes more powerful than Burr, or Burr's just like, Burr just wants power, but doesn't really want, or he wants responsibility and power, but he doesn't want to really like back any particular horse, which is the only way.
Yeah, I don't think he wants people to not like him. Which
yeah.
Is
yeah.
The whole, he's, like, smile more kind
of
thing.
Exactly. He's too afraid of people not liking him
yeah.
to take the risk. Because, like, you're not going to, like, especially in politics, you're not going to get
like everybody
anywhere high unless people hate you. And Burr is just too afraid of what making people hate him.
Yeah.
Which that's really backfires in the end.
Oh, yeah.
That's what that whole song
everyone
is about.
Hates him.
He tries so hard to please everybody and eventually makes everybody hate him in, like, history.
Well, so, yeah, what's interesting about, like, the whole, like, noticing that he's more whiny is that I think, like, in this first act, he's, like, the good guy, his friend, is, like, his teacher, kind of, you know, like, helping him along and
yeah.
stuff. And then in the second act, now they're kind of equals.
Yeah.
And so now Burr is kind of, like, slowly declining into this antagonist.
Mm-hmm.
So,
he's starting
yeah,
to get bitter
really,
because
yeah.
Hamilton is rising above him.
Yeah.
And yeah, the whole Room Where It Happens song is key to his personality because it's like Hamilton's is all about like, I want to make a difference. And Burr just wants to be in the room where it happens.
Mm-hmm.
Like he doesn't want to make anything happen. He just wants to be in the room for it. Like, which
yeah.
is like.
He wants to know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is the reason that he never.
Never knows.
Really? He never really ends up in the room.
Mm-mm. No.
At
no, he
any
doesn't.
Point. He's not ambitious enough. Too bad. Yeah, Maria Reynolds, that whole thing happens.
I really like her song.
It's
I'm not
good.
Gonna lie.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, it's good.
Her song is good. But the part, I hate it. It pisses me off every time. And I know they did it purposely. It's because she uses the helpless. Like how Eliza did in the first act, she's like,
they use that melody.
No, but she uses the "I am helpless."
Oh yeah.
And they use the same lyrics from "Helpless" in this, just for like a little bit, just for like a line or two,
ooh.
When he's like trying to leave, and it pisses me off so bad because I'm like, that's.
How dare you?
No. but it's perfect, and she does it really well. Mm-hmm. But it makes me so mad.
And it's so funny how she's got this beautiful voice that she uses during this song, and then in her previous appearance, she's got Aunt Peggy.
Yeah.
Like it goes from that to this, which is hilarious.
Oh yeah, it's so good.
I don't know why Peggy has to be funny, but she definitely is.
Well, she's like that, the youngest child that nobody really likes.
Mm-hmm.
She's like such a square at the beginning. She's mm-hmm. like, oh, we're not supposed to meow. I need to go home.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, I love, this is, again, more of the ensemble, but like the guy who plays Ryan? Oh, not Ryan.
Reynolds? Yeah, Ryan, the famed character from Ryan. American history. Ryan.
No, Mr. Reynolds. What's his first name? Does it say?
Oh. Yeah. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, that guy. On the IMDb?
No, it doesn't. Oh, Mr. Reynolds.
Yeah, just Mr. Reynolds.
Well, right. I don't remember. It's like, I don't remember.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, but he's ensemble. See, Google he Docs appears can as, like, tell several me. Different characters.
Yeah, is he...
He's like,
James
is he
Reynolds.
Charles Lee, too?
Father.
Okay.
And then he's...
James Reynolds.
James Reynolds.
That's
Thank
it.
You.
And then I think he's someone else. I'm trying to think.
Ooh, they got her Wikipedia page.
No, I don't think... I do know who you're talking about. He's bald, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do know who
America's first political sex scandal. Congratulations, Hamilton.
Good job.
First murder trial and first sex scandal.
Is that true that he got the first murder trial?
I mean, it says mm-hmm. it in this.
Yeah.
Well, and he was working with Burr. And on this one, like, it really ticked me off when Burr is like, yeah, I switched political parties.
Oh, yeah.
So I could get a promotion, and now we're on opposite sides. And Hamilton's like, dude, like, we were bros. Uh-huh. He's like, yeah, but then, like, backing this horse got me further, so... Tough darts.
But it also is, Hamilton would have totally done that too. Like, it's kind Probably. Of almost hypocritical of Hamilton because oh, yeah. he would have totally.
There's
done
a lot
that.
About
like,
Hamilton that's hypocritical of this.
Yeah.
But it's Lynn, and he seems like he's constantly running out of breath, and it's great.
Yeah.
They did do the first murder trial. That nice. Is actually a thing.
Who murdered who?
Hamilton murdered somebody.
I remember.
It looks like who was
up.
It was mm-hmm. Levi Weeks. Levi. It's Levi Weeks. Who was accused of murdering Elma Sands.
Elma.
All right.
Sounds like
sure.
two Quakers.
They probably were.
It reminds me, there's a video I was watching about Walt Disney's original plans for Epcot oh. and of like the whole like experimental community and whatever. And the legal implications were just terrifying, how like everyone would be basically under constant surveillance
oh.
to like, you know, be the experiment. And then someone was like, Walt, what happens if, like, because he wanted to be like self-governing.
Mm-hmm.
And then someone was like, Walt, what if somebody murders someone in Epcot? What do we do then? And he's like, eh.
Oh boy.
Oh boy.
He's like, what do we do about that? Anyway, it's so weird. Yeah, the whole, Skylar being Hamilton's father-in-law doesn't really cover oh. that too much.
Yeah.
Because he's kind of like, he's a political rival to Hamilton.
No.
No.
Because Hamilton's in the cabinet. He's not like, oh. he doesn't have to be voted in or anything.
It's confusing. Anyway.
Although, no, he's on the same political
party. They're in the same party.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they're both Federalists.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
And Burr was a Federalist, but he changed political parties to run against Schuyler.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
That was kind that of the whole
makes
deal.
Sense.
Yeah.
Okay. Continuing onward, in another cabinet meeting, Jefferson and Hamilton argue over whether the United States should assist France in its conflict with Britain. President Washington ultimately agrees with Hamilton's argument for remaining neutral in Cabinet Battle Number 2. In the wake of this, Jefferson, Madison, and Burr decide to join forces and find a way to discredit Hamilton in Washington's eyes in Washington on your side. Washington decides to retire from the presidency, and Hamilton assists in writing a farewell address in one last time.
I loved how they used Washington's actual speech.
Oh, they
did? Uh-huh, yeah.
Oh, shoot.
That's a lot good. Of those not the whole thing, but a lot of the lines are the same. It's really cool. Yeah.
Lin, you're a genius.
I know, he's so
good. One does have a
he's so good.
Also, so in the
I do disagree with Hamilton on the whole French Revolution thing.
Yeah, you I do help? Too.
Yeah, like I know, like he uses this loophole of like, well, technically the person we made that agreement with is dead, and technically it's more of a revolution than a war, or like, it's more of a civil war than a war. Like, dude, like the French Revolution may have been less of a shit show if America had helped a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it probably would have been a lot different.
Or like, I don't have all the details, so I don't know if I necessarily disagree with the choice, but I definitely disagree with Hamilton's weird loophole that he goes through.
Yeah.
And like, it's the one point where Jefferson is like more in the right than he is pretty much through the rest of the play, where it's like, we promised to help France, so why aren't we?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, we can't. I don't know, maybe it was the right decision. I don't know, I'm not a historian.
Well, like in that rap battle thing that they did this one line that I thought was really awesome. Did this they did a Biggie Smalls reference.
They
which
did?
I love. Yeah, at the end of the rap battle, he's like, and if you don't know, now you know, Mr. President. Drop the mic. This is so good.
That is good.
You have to go, okay.
I'm sorry.
Bye.
Farewell.
Thank you.
Washington on your Where's side. Why is it like That's this? A bop.
Oh, yeah. It's so good. Oh, my gosh. What a mess. Get over here.
What are you doing?
I'm trying to get this over here so that I have more cord.
Smart.
Okay.
Farewell address. Continuing onward. A flabbergasted King George receives word that George Washington has stepped down and will be replaced by Paris signatory John Adams, and I know him. Gosh, the way he says that. John Adams?
Yeah.
I mean, like, for, like, even, like, the little bit of history nerds, it's like, yeah, John Adams. And John Adams becomes the second president and fires Hamilton, who publishes an inflammatory critique of the new president as a response in the Adams administration. In the face of accusations of speculation of government funds by Jefferson, Madison, and Burr, and out of fear that his affair with Maria Reynolds will be used against him in his political career in We Know, which is referred to as Unless Unless by Lin-Manuel.
Oh.
He uses a different name for it, which is why I was confused. I'm waiting for that to come up. And Hamilton chooses to publicize his affair in Hurricane, in the Reynolds pamphlet, There's three songs right there. Damaging his relationship with Eliza. Eliza, in a heartbroken retaliation, burns all the letters Hamilton wrote her, trying to erase herself from history in Burn. Philip, instructed, my goodness, I just got a weird stabbing pain. Philip, instructed by Hamilton, challenges George Eaker to a duel and is critically injured in Blow Us All Away and dies in Stay Alive Reprise, causing a reconciliation between Alexander and Eliza in It's Quiet Uptown. Very depressing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, one fun thing that he mentioned during an interview is that the whole Unless Unless and the We Know song, that whole scene, those three are inspired by that he based that off of the McElroy brothers from My Brother and Me.
Oh.
So like the way the cadence of how the three are talking are based off of them. And knowing that in hindsight and being a fan of the McElroys is really funny to watch that scene again. But yeah, this whole thing is, I think that it's pretty baller of Hamilton to just be like, hey, they could use this against me. Well, let me just leak it. It's like when someone leaks their own nudes on Twitter, or it's like, oh yeah, someone's been sharing this around, so I'm just going to post it. Ha ha, joke's on you. Or I guess not necessarily on Twitter, because Twitter doesn't like that.
They're like, take it down.
Wherever that does happen.
Google,
I guess? I don't know. But it's that sort of principle.
Because
the last thing Burr says to him is, like, rumors are like wildfire. They'll spread no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay.
Although it wasn't really a rumor at that point.
No. Like, he tries at first to be like, I'll, like, prove, I've got the receipts, which, like, really smart of him to keep the receipts during all that.
Yeah.
It's like, this can stay between us. And they're like, yeah, sure, whatever. But then there's like, but they know. So.
Yeah.
Like that could like they, if they had like they if they had that bullet in the chamber, and they could have fired that at him at any point and like messed up whatever he was doing. But just getting it away like just takes their ammunition away from them, and it does damage him, but like not for that long.
Right. Yeah.
Reynolds pamphlet. Oh also, my gosh, Philip.
Okay.
Philip's duel.
Oh yeah.
The when he gets shot. And it starts spinning as he goes like that. Makes it look like he's flying back.
Yeah.
Ooh.
It's good.
So good. And thanks to 1700s medicine, he did not survive.
Oh, yeah. As soon as they were like, oh,
it's already been infected.
Like, yeah, I was like, oh, he's dead.
that's why people would die from gunshot wounds back then, not because of the gunshot. Like, it went through his hip and then got lodged in his arm, mm-hmm. which is not a fatal wound, but it got infected, so that's how he died.
Yeah.
My goodness, that part's depressing.
Yeah.
And the whole It's Quiet Uptown song is such a bummer.
Oh, yeah.
Ugh. But, yay, they get back together.
I don't know. It really didn't feel like they got back together, though. Kind. You know? It's just like
we sit in the garden in silence a lot. And there's like the one in the chorus goes like, forgiveness. Like, I guess.
Yeah.
Does he deserve it?
Really, yeah. So one thing I noticed,
it's his fault, mm-hmm. essentially, that his son died.
Yeah.
Because like he's like, oh, I'm going to defend your honor. Like the right thing would have just been like,
kill him.
No.
Shoot him.
No, just to be tell Philip like,
don't fight.
Like I don't care if some kid at college is making fun of me.
Yeah.
And the whole like his like philosophy of duels of like, oh, just shoot in the air and then they'll be like, oh, we're bigger men than this, is so stupid.
Yeah,
that he thinks that will ever work. We never see it work in this play.
Yeah,
because the person is going to be spinning around and shooting at the same time. They're not going to spin around, see you going up, and go, oh, never mind.
Yeah. It's kind of dumb.
It's like, oh, I was already pointed up. And it's the whole, like, not going to throw away my shot thing, and the reason both of them die is because they literally throw away their shot.
Oh, yeah.
Which that's I always thought was really cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
It's because he threw away his shot.
I noticed that with him, but I guess I didn't notice it with his son. Yeah, that's really mm-hmm. cool.
But I guess both they would have died either way, because like even if they shot the other person, they still would have received their bullet, I think.
How do you know?
Unless they shot first.
The hope is of a duel is that you shoot before they're able mm-hmm. to shoot you.
Or they're terrible at like,
well, yeah, they just like
there's like that one type of duel. There's like some movie I saw, and I don't know if it's historically accurate, where they'll have two or three pistols. I believe sometimes it's with three, and there'll be one bullet loaded into one of them, and then someone will like shuffle them around, and then like they'll pick their guns. So you may have one with a bullet, you may have one without a bullet.
Interesting.
I don't remember what that is. And I think there's a variation where there's three guns, so it's possible neither one will have a bullet.
Huh.
But I think usually it would just be two guns. Like, the person would load one, put it in a case, and then, like, have each... And, like, they would, like, flip a coin or whatever to see who picks the gun first.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
And that's how I thought duels were all the time as a kid. Because I saw it in one movie. But apparently, yeah, they both get bullets. Mm-hmm. Because, like, in that one, like, you would, like, go 10 paces and you would have, like, full time to aim and it was just fire when ready.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like, you would, like, aim and then they would count down and then you would fire. It would be, like, you know, spin. But I think that's more like a British thing.
Okay, yeah. Well, yeah, because British is a lot less of, I guess back then it was. It wasn't so guerrilla when it came to, like, fighting people.
This seems more like an Americanized version of that.
Yeah.
Where it's, like, you know, proving yourself as a man by mm-hmm. being able to shoot the other person, which is so stupid. And they mentioned that in this, where it's, like, it's a stupid way to sell your differences. Yeah.
Yeah.
it's dumb.
Like, whatever. But
the whole, like, everything's legal in Jersey.
Yeah, well, they, like, always went and dueled in Jersey.
and have the doctor there with like that they're not watching, so they have plausible deniability, which is so like just stupid law. Because like if a family member decided to go to court, the doctor would be like, "Oh, I didn't know what was going on. It just happened to be in the area." So dumb.
So another thing I noticed was that when she burned the letters or whatever. Mm-hmm. I didn't know you were allowed to have open flames in a theater.
It's I know that it's like a big deal that they did that.
Okay.
I guess like they have to have like fire safety ready. And maybe like the bucket has like water in it or something.
Okay, yeah. It didn't seem to smoke.
Yeah. But it is a live fire, and like it is impressive that they're able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the line that she said, where like she says like I'm burning away something along the lines of like I'm burning away anything that could have redeemed you.
Oh yeah.
Like she's getting rid of like she wants history to remember him as a cheater.
Yeah.
And if there's anything that could have made him more sympathetic that's in those letters, well, probably there would be.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, got nothing. Nothing to make people have a better opinion of you now, which is like, that's cool.
Yeah.
It's sure. Better logic than just, I'm angry, I'm going to burn these letters. It's like, I'm going to make history forget me, and I'm going to make history hate you. Which, to a certain extent, it did.
Yeah, kind of.
I guess. Maybe. I'm sure Hamilton would be super stoked about this musical.
For sure, yeah.
Oh my goodness. Last paragraph of the recap.
Ooh.
If you can believe it. Hamilton's endorsement of Jefferson in the presidential election of 1800 in the election of 1800 results in further animosity between Hamilton and Burr, who challenges Hamilton to a duel via an exchange of letters in Your Obedient Servant. Hamilton writes his last letter in a rush, while Eliza tells him to go back to bed and Best of Wives and Best of Women, which is a weird song title,
yeah.
Say out loud. Burr and Hamilton travel to New Jersey for the duel, which is the same spot where his son died. During the duel, both Burr and Hamilton fire at each other after 10 paces, with Hamilton intentionally missing, throwing away his shot. Thanks, IMDb. I know.
I think they'd say that in the song, too.
Yeah.
That he throws away his shot.
Yeah. It's like, I didn't realize it the first time I watched it, but the second time I was like, oh, he throws away his shot. You learn something new every time you watch this. Hamilton dies as a result, with Eliza Angelica at his side. Burr laments that even though he survived, he is cursed to be remembered as the villain who killed Hamilton. Yeah, you did.
I mean,
and the world was wide enough. The musical closes with a reflection on historical memory, showing how Eliza kept Hamilton's legacy alive, and who lives, who dies, who tells your story.
Yep.
Good stuff.
Again, another appearance of ensemble doing great work. They did that like slow-mo bullet or whatever.
Oh, the slow-mo bullet is great.
Yeah.
What is that supposed to be?
What is that?
I don't know. We chose the Haunted Theater for Hamilton because it's spooky.
Ooh, Halloween time.
Halloween time. Halloween and Hamilton goes together. Oh, the just salt between him and Burr during the final part is so good.
Mm-hmm.
Burr is like super optimistic about becoming president and like giddy about it.
Yeah.
Which like I wouldn't vote for him based on that alone. He's way too excited.
Oh really? I thought it was cool.
Kind
like
of.
See him finally have like a passion because he didn't seem to
that
have
is
one.
True. Yeah.
And then he like just got like dashed, and I was like, oh.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, Hamilton, like you actually inspired me to go after my dreams. And then he's like, okay, I'm gonna vote for Jefferson because Jefferson actually has opinions on stuff. Like Burr doesn't believe in anything. I'm like, sick burn. The fact that Hamilton decided that election.
Yeah.
Ooh, so good. And of course Burr got angry, but like angry enough to do a duel is still like. I can't imagine being angry enough at someone to want to kill them
in
some sort of ritualistic combat. It's crazy. The fact that his son did it while he was at college, like when he's in his like 20s, is crazy. And these two grown men, and he like just doesn't tell his wife, like, oh, I've got a meeting in the morning. Like, dude, you can die.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. like the world was wide enough for like for both of them, like duh.
Yeah, but that's like that's the very clear, like
and the fact that he also gets roasted by Jefferson when he's like, oh that's like I'm gonna be your vice president, and it's like, oh that's stupid, oh I'm gonna change that because I'm president. Which I don't know if that's good or not.
What do you mean?
Never mind. I was like, I was about to say, like, I wonder if that was a good change or if it would be better if the loser still became vice president today. And then change. I just thought about the last election and was like, maybe it's good they changed that.
Yeah.
Now,
because that would kind of give more incentive to, like, especially nowadays with all the violence and stuff, like more violence towards the president, because you're like, well, I want my old president back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, because, like, if. Because, like, if the person you were rooting for loses, they still become vice president. Oh, take out the president. Now they're president.
Yeah.
That I could see how that would cause a lot of problems.
So I guess it's a good thing it changed so quick.
Yeah. It's definitely still not a perfect system, but I think that's a good change.
Mm-hmm.
And this was still before they instituted the two-term rule. Because it seemed like at least Hamilton had that expectation that George Washington would just keep running for president.
I think, yeah, everybody had that expectation.
But George Washington, he intentionally didn't do that because he's like, oh, we don't want to have another King George, lol. My name is the same as his.
isn't that part of Assassin's Creed 3?
Yeah, in the DLC for Assassin's Creed 3, it's an alternate timeline where he goes crazy and becomes king, and you have to kill him. He's also got like a magic staff and stuff. But
okay.
Like it's Assassin's Creed. Not everything is historical because there's magic.
Right.
I know it's not magic, internet, but you know what I mean. It's basically magic.
Assassin's Creed isn't magic, it's science fiction.
Explain the crap that happens in Valhalla with the druids and say that it's not magic. They freaking, you're under a hallucinogenic drug. Like, no. I died by getting stabbed by clones of someone.
Oh.
No mushroom is going to do that to me. Whatever. It's bonkers. There's magic. Oh no! Yeah, that's the end of the thing.
Well, so
telling Eliza's story at the end is good.
I didn't really like that much.
Really?
Yeah. So to me, it felt like it kind of descended into like this kind of history lesson, which to me, like, I was like,
it does drag a little bit, where it's like, and then this happened, and then this happened.
Yeah.
And then
I was
this happened.
That I don't really care for that so much, like the. Hamilton's dead, just let the play end here.
Yeah.
So yeah,
it is. I think, like, I guess part of what Lynn wanted to do there was also to tell Eliza's story, because this history doesn't really, but it does come off sort of like as a checklist of this is what happened, which, like, they do the same thing with Hamilton, but they do it in a better song. Who Lives, Who Dies, Who Tells Your Story could have been more of a song, instead of just, and then she made the first orphanage. And she also did this. She told my story. Like, the Washington Monument, which, you know, she did raise funds for the Washington Monument, but it was still built by slaves, so.
Ooh, well, okay.
Glossed over that one, Lynn.
Yeah.
But it is, it is cool. And then, like, the whole debate over, what does her gasp at the end mean? I don't really care what it means. I think it's a fun moment. Like, one of the theories, I don't remember what it really means, it might be this, but the one that I heard was that it's like the fourth wall breaking and her seeing the audience, of like her seeing that her story is finally being told, which is like, that's good. When I first saw it, I thought it was just like picking up at Hamilton dying and her freaking out about it, which was really depressing. But I guess it's more like a good gasp.
I don't know.
It's a good moment. And then the whole cast comes out, and then they have this just bonkers rap during the end credits.
I don't remember that, actually. I don't think I saw
the end credits?
Well, so I
there's
got
like
the
a
end credits sequence.
Different song in the end credits.
Oh, yeah, the the different version of My Shot.
I think that's what it is. Oh, interesting.
I think is what it is.
But yeah, that is Hamilton.
One thing that I noticed in the credits was this. They highlighted the what's it called? The ensemble.
Yeah.
There was like pictures of the ensemble.
That's cool.
Yeah, I was like, oh look, the director actually
cares.
Recognize these smaller.
It is cool. Parts. Like you watching it, you start to pick out members of the ensemble and recognize them mm-hmm. because it's not that large of a cast. Right, like a normal Broadway would have, like you wouldn't be able to tell who the extras were. But like each one like has they basically have the same costumes, but like they all have like different haircuts mm-hmm. and a unique look to them, which is cool. And the end credits, when watching those, where it does like the portraits, is absolutely just what they did in the Hobbit end credits for the Battle of the Five Armies. Mm-hmm. It looks identical.
Yeah.
Which is fine. It's a good look. Mm-hmm. Where it's like the like artistically drawn. But yeah, Elena's not here for the end, but we can go on to our final thoughts and moment of the movie. I know mine. My moment of the movie is absolutely when Philip gets shot and the lights go off and it like puts him in silhouette the moment he gets shot. And then he's like in this backwards pose and it starts spinning. So it like slow-mo has him fly after getting shot. Is so cool. And the way it's shot is so beautiful. That's my moment.
My moment is the cabinet rap battle, just because I just love it.
It's good. It's good. Follow-up moment, of course, be the Mabim Bam reference with the McElroy brothers.
Oh, yeah.
It's funny. Which, I mean, it got him onto their podcast, which I guess was a dream of his, despite being just a podcast and him being a Broadway writer. He went from, like, a fan of them to being so much more successful. And then, like, just getting on all their stuff because he asked. Mm-hmm. It's really funny. Oh, rank the film. My goodness.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my goodness. This is going to be tough. Here we go. Where do we want to put it? It's going to be high. It's going to be high. I'm kind of thinking number 5, between A New Hope and The Muppets.
Oh, I want to put way higher, but...
Above both Star Wars?
Well, I would put it at number 1 because this is just like my favorite.
But Pirates of the Caribbean.
We can put it. Let's put it at number 5. How about that?
At number
just above Muppets.
Just above Muppets. I'm okay with that.
Okay.
The only reason that I would put it that low is because of how long it is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. Like, it kind of seemed to drag towards the end.
Yeah. It's not one, like, I can pick up and watch Pirates of the Caribbean or Star Wars, like, anytime. Mm-hmm. But Hamilton is, like, it's more of an investment.
Yeah, yeah.
Not necessarily that it's a worse movie. We're sort of very fast and loose with the ranking system.
Yeah.
It's great seeing Tom and Huck just keep going lower and lower. My goodness. We may be revisiting an animated show for this wheel.
Oh. Which one's this wheel?
Marvel.
Oh, yes.
But before that, we have the film information and statistics for Hamilton. It was written by Lin-Manuel Miranda and inspired by the book Alexander Hamilton by Ron Chernow. Is directed by Thomas Kail, released July 3rd, 2020. One day off from 4th of July, but
wow,
that was definitely intentional. Runtime, 2 hours and 40 minutes. Not as long as Endgame. Oh my gosh, we might get Endgame.
Oh.
That is going to have to be like a two-parter.
Probably,
that's
going to
be so long. IMDb score of 8.6 out of 10. 1 point lower than The Simpsons, which is 8.7.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Rotten Tomatoes scores, 98% critics, 90% audience. To be expected.
Yeah.
Bechdel test, pass.
Yay!
According to user Mia Hunt from the Bechdel Test website, Angelica, Eliza, and Peggy talk about the revolution during the song The Skylar Sisters. Angelica and Eliza also talk about going away for the summer during the song Take a Break.
Yes.
But now it is time to spin the wheel. You've got more maneuverability, so you can spin the wheel. It's over there this time. This week's wheel is submitted by email by Angela W. and is Marvel. I don't know if it's...
Get underneath the couch.
I don't know if it's necessarily everything Marvel. But it's everything that was on the Marvel tab, so I think it's pretty much everything.
I don't know if I can reach that, but I can't.
Yeah, you can. You can. You can.
I can't.
Hold Just on. Reach out your arm.
Come on, Court. There we go. Really? It wasn't even...
A lot of animated stuff. And maybe WandaVision!
Oh my gosh, I hope not.
Dude, WandaVision is it's bonkers. It's great.
Yeah, I saw the trailer. It's weird. Yeet!
This will be an interesting one.
Okay, what is it?
It is the Future Avengers from 2017.
The one with the kids?
Yeah.
Oh, it's no. Animated. Oh my gosh.
You're Future right. Avengers.
We're gonna get an animated show.
Of course
we're. I own this, actually.
You think you own it? I've never heard of this.
It's not a good movie.
Oof. 2 seasons.
Wait, it's a
show?
Oh
my gosh. Dude, it's straight up like an Avengers anime.
Oh, no way. I've not seen this at all, actually. Okay, there's a movie that I think is something like that, but...
Oh, like the Young Avengers?
That's what it is.
Or like the Next Avengers?
Yeah, whatever.
I know the one you're talking about. Oh my goodness. It's straight up they tried to make an Avengers anime. Oh... Oh my goodness, oh my gosh, this looks bonkers.
All right, this actually might be good.
The Avengers rescue a trio of children, Makoto, Adi, and Chloe, who were granted superhuman powers from a nefarious experiment by the organization Hydra. Oh my gosh. Oh my, it's just, it's listed under anime.
Oh. Ah! I didn't know they put anime on Disney Plus.
What happens if you search? I put it on my watch list so I can find it again later.
Anime?
Yeah. What happens if you search anime? Okay. If you search anime, it's Future Avengers and this other show that comes up called Super Robot Monkey Team Hyper Force Go.
Wait. What?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. What the heck?
That doesn't look like an anime, though. That just looks like...
That's just animation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Future Avengers, however.
That's...
Absolutely is anime. Yeah. So look forward to that, everybody. How long are the episodes? They're 24 minutes long.
Okay.
We still feel good about 3 episodes?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay.
That's about an hour, right?
Yeah.
24 for each is about an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. This is a big, this is going to be a big sigh episode, I feel like. It's one of those where we're going to talk about it, and then several times the episode just be like.
Yeah.
Okay. Time to decide the new wheel.
Okay.
We have a new submission. To the wheel list, which is Mystery by Superpants.
Ooh.
So we have that to choose from if we want to. This is what we currently have. I'm kind of thinking, we don't know how long this is going to stay on the main page, but I'm kind of thinking the Celebrate Black Stories collection.
Okay.
Because I feel like that's one that's not always going to be on the main page.
Might
as well get that one done before they get rid of it. And because it's got a lot of movies that I've never seen before. And it's got Soul, which is new.
Oh, all right.
And SEO is going to like that if we watch it. Let me see what's got on it. If it is still... if it's still on there.
Oh, man.
If it's already... Okay, it is. Let's see. We got Soul, Hidden Figures, Black is King, Black Panther, Safety, Princess and the Frog, Remember the Titans... Oh my gosh, A Wrinkle in Time. That movie's so weird.
Wait, which one? The old one or the new one?
New one. Lion King, Red Toes, Sister Act. We can get Sister Act 1.
No.
Kazam.
I am seeing Sister Act in my YouTube somehow.
Twitches. Like it. Twitches. So yeah.
Like my personal. It's not the one I use to watch. It was just my personal like Google account. Somehow it found out that I watched the show. It's like you like Sister Act. Oh no.
All of hope. Great. We got inspired by true stories, and the second thing on there was Greatest Showman, which I'm like, barely. Yeah, that's right. We're not doing Greatest Showman forever. So yeah, we're Mary submitted that, the Celebrate Black Stories collection. That is what we're going to be on next. And that's all for the episode. Thank you all so much for listening or watching. I guess, yeah, if you want to watch us instead of listen to us, we are on YouTube. If you want to listen instead of watch, we are on every podcatcher.
Is that what they're called? Podcatchers?
Yeah, that's what they're called. Podcatchers. That's dumb. Such a dumb name.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, if you like the show, please review us. Give us a 5-star review on iTunes or whatever podcast service you listen to. And share this episode with your friends who like Hamilton. Yes. I always love episodes that we do where we all like collectively liked the thing. Because it's a fun episode.
Which, so much more positive.
It's so much more positive. Like, like the other, like, when it's, like, a movie that's, like, so bad it's good. Like, Mom's Got a Date with a Vampire. Oh, where we all collectively think it's dumb as hell. Or, like, My Dog the Thief. Those are also fun. But my favorite ones are ones where we all like the movie. Which, I don't know if that's more interesting to listen to people just praise a movie for an hour and a half. But whatever. You can send your reviews or comments to wherestreamscometrue@gmail.com. You can tell that our numbers are getting better because I keep getting spam emails from different podcast networks that are like, here's some stuff to grow your podcast. So like they know that the email is associated with a podcast.
Oh,
so
nice.
It's a good sign.
Yeah.
It's annoying as hell, but it's a good sign. We are also on Twitter at Studio76WSCT. You can submit a wheel, such as a category or a search term on Disney Plus. Like, we've got both of those. We've got specific stuff like the High School Musical collection or just a search term like mystery, which only has four things, and one of them is WandaVision, which I know what you're doing. You want us to watch WandaVision. And I'm watching it week to week now, and it is fantastic. You can send your reviews on the show. We can read your reviews on the show. You can submit a recording on anchor.fm/wherestreamscometrue. As I've always said, I've never seen any podcast utilize that feature, but it's a thing that's there if you want to use it. So it's like a voicemail. I've seen there's a podcast listening to that does voicemails. Mm-hmm. But I have no idea how that would be set up. So it's basically that sort of thing. So yeah, your duties as listeners is to watch Future Avengers. I'm so excited. It's another dumb Marvel show.
Yeah.
It's obscure enough.
Maybe they'll have a weird intro song like they did with Hulk.
Incredible. Hulk. Yeah. So I hope we get more Hulk at some point.
Oh my gosh, that'd be so good.
And that was all for the episode. Thank you all for watching. Bye.
No!